Greetings, all. The alternative Old Testament reading for today is from Isaiah 10, verses 10 through 13. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and stay upon the ground to water the earth and cause the grain to grow and to produce seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry, so also is my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It shall accomplish all I want it to, and prosper everywhere I send it. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills, the trees of the field, all the world around you will rejoice. Where once were thorns, fir trees will grow. Where briars grew, the myrtle trees will sprout up. This miracle will make the Lord's name very great and be an everlasting sign of God's power and love. The squirrels in my garden have decided among themselves to become my design assistants. I didn't know I needed that, yet I see their handiwork around me right at this moment in the well-placed blooming sunflowers that appear all around the garden, sprouted up from seeds I did not plant. It's a joyful thing, and I stand in appreciation for their efforts. After all, they too answer a divine call to do this work. Then, later in the season, as the seeds ripen at the top of the flowers that are in decline, hundreds more seed will be formed just from that one planted seed, feeding a host of birds and in turn the squirrels themselves, and provide for sunflowers for next year. I consider this when I read today's message. More than half of Matthew's 13 chapter is devoted to seed. Seed cast to soil, some not able to support sustained plant life, some compromised with weeds, and then reading along, we arrive at the parable of the mustard seed. This is plenty of time to deem it important. Seed seen pointing to the sacramental. Nourishment, a life in Christ, and Christ in us. The potential for change and transformation. For their aspect of hope, the basis of our faith. Isaiah's verse inspires us to begin our consideration of the seed as sacramental by the aspect of water in the form of rain and snow upon earth, upon the fallen seed, the conditions under which the seed will actualize. The fruit of the earth and the work of human hands becomes our spiritual food. We define sacraments as the outward and visible signs of inward and invisible grace. Christ welcomes the church into communion with himself, even as he unites the members in a profoundly intimate way with one another. As they are shaped more perfectly into the image of Christ, they are sent as his body to see the world and proclaim the good news. By the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, bread and wine become the means by which Jesus becomes tangibly present to the assembly, and by partaking of these gifts, the community gives itself to Christ that they corporately might be his body in the world today. While the seed itself is not the sacrament, it is the becoming, the development, the engagement with it that ultimately becomes the visible sign. This happened in human history when people began to live in community. They were no longer hunter-gatherers and no longer nomadic. Planted fields and agriculture brought a stability of place and a way in which people could live together in one place as tenders. The seed, planted, tended, harvested, saved, and replanted, became the food by which the community was nourished year after year. The care of the seed, both for planting and then from the seed head after flowering, became the way by which the community survived and sustained itself. It is by this that the grain, the seed of the wheat, is harvested and made into flour to then become bread. Wheat, as a divine provision, the most important of the six species of the land, Deuteronomy 8:8. Wheat was planted, sown in December, harvested 6 or 7 months later. There are several stories from Scripture that we read of the bread and the wheat. Here are two. Matthew 12:1. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some head of grain to eat them. There is Elijah's visit to the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17:12, where she, with death impending from starvation, shared with Elijah the very last of her flour made into bread. The seed is transformative. I had an old Italian friend, Rudy, who taught me how to plant garlic. He said, according to Italian tradition, the best time to plant garlic is in the full moon of November. I found the story captivating, so I thought to give it a go. I bought 6 heads of garlic seed, which are really heads of garlic, but just suitable for planting. The plan was to pull the cloves apart and plant each one point up about 6 inches apart down the row, and then walk away and leave it all winter. Come March, the greens would reach their fingers upward to the sky, where they would gather energy from the sun that would feed the bulb. In early summer, the greens would begin to wither. This was a sign that the garlic was nearly ready for harvesting. I would dig very gently into the soil with my trowel near the base of the greens and find, attached to the base, a new and complete head of garlic. Once I began to use this new garlic and pulled apart the cloves from the head, I noticed that the original planted clove was no longer there. It had become the new head of garlic, yielding many cloves around it. For you have been born again, not of seed that is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through living and enduring, the living and enduring Word of God. The seed is the Word of God, the seed in good soil. Hear the Word in an honest and good heart, hold it fast, bears fruit with perseverance. Seeds will germinate when their conditions are right. The temperature, appropriate moisture, soil that can support life, and light shining on them by which the seed reaches and seeks. The poppy seeds of Flanders Field bloomed to life when the machinery of World War I brought long dormant seeds to the surface, a living symbol of the blood shed, lives lost, thousands of young men. The sacraments consist of words and gestures, and in this, Christ's life offers us a sacramental pattern. In the Gospels, he is forever making gestures, using physical things, and aligning them with words. The concept of God among us and the Word made flesh point to the essential aspect of God in the material, and in this case, the symbolic sacramental aspect of the seed is the material. In John 12, verses 23 to 24, Jesus replied that the time had come for him to return to his glory in heaven, and that I must fall and die like a kernel of wheat that falls into the furrows of the earth. Unless I die, I will be alone, a single seed. But my death will produce many new wheat kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. If you love your life, lay it down here. You will lose it. Jesus's very life, his human form, is the life of a seed, a life that gives life, a life by whose life there is more and everlasting life. We come to this from Isaiah. Then he will give you rain for the seed, which you will sow in the ground, and bread from the yield to the ground, and it will be rich and plenteous. But how now for us, living away from agrarian communities, do we have this? Whose hands are planting, tending, harvesting the food that we eat? For us, it's largely an immigrant workforce. American migrant workers, Central American men and women, about 1.5 to 2 million of them, 50 to 70% of them is non-documented. Many sleep tend to a room with a shared bathroom. They are transported to fields in vans. They are exposed to lung irritants and dust, pollen, herbicides, insecticides, fungicides that contribute to respiratory disorders. Many are not eligible for American CARE Act benefits. Enter coronavirus, now running hard through migrant worker communities, people already fragile. I read recently in The Guardian Weekly that in North America and in Northern Europe, 40% of the food grown in both of these areas is thrown away. Not only do we eat by the efforts of these migrant workers, many around the world do not have enough to eat. Due to this waste. All this because our grocery bins at our stores need to look full. Jesus says in response to Peter's threefold declaration of love in John 21:17, "Feed my sheep." One day, we hope soon, the priest's host and the chalice will be raised over the altar in our liturgy, the sacrament of the Eucharist. Consider the hands that provide for this sacrament, the hands that planted, tended, harvested, the hands from where it first began, spread across the heavens and the earth, the hands that planted, that were planted by nails to the tree of the cross. What do I, can I, will I do to feed the feeders, to plant a seed for those who plant for me?